pay program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We've got a great show planned for you today. First hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Peter Rouse about nutrition for pets. We don't want to forget about our pets, right? We want to be healthy. We want our pets to be healthy. And this isn't necessarily about making our pets live longer. And it clearly is not about giving pets performance-enhancing supplements, as was suggested on Facebook, but on allowing pets to live natural lives. Later in the show, Dr. Andrew will be on covering part two of the amino acid series. Before we get started with that, I want to make a couple announcements. First of all, coupon codes. If you want 50% off the testosterone boosting patch Testo 100, go to Superhuman Radio, click the banner ad, and use SHR4. If you want to save 25% off of your your peptides, which basically are amino acids, go to opresource.net and use the coupon code Superhuman25. And right now, the banner ad on Superhuman Radio for the Earth Pulse unit will lead you to a page where you can order the new $250 Earth Pulse unit that was discussed on the last show with Paul Becker. I got some emails from people asking when that would be released. It's available now. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Earth Pulse banner ad. You will end up at a page where you can order the $250 version of this magnificent magnetic sleep machine. Okay, my first guest this morning, and it is morning where he is, Dr. Peter Rouse. How you doing, Peter?
Hey, Cole. How you going?
Great, great. Now, this happens to be a subject that I know you didn't really need much preparation for because you happen to be a devoted pet lover, correct?
Yeah, we currently have two animals. We have a cat and a dog. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to be hopefully getting a few more animals soon, but we're kind of limited by the size of our place at the moment.
Now, I got to ask you, is that something that you grew up with as a child in New Zealand? Did you have lots of animals around?
Yeah, we did. We had mainly cats, but we had dogs and actually had a pet rabbit at one point, and she had a pet tarantula too. So yeah, I've always grown up with animals.
I had a pet tarantula when I was a kid too, believe it or not. And you know what? People don't realize tarantulas are very, very delicate. Their skin is like paper.
Yeah, you gotta be real careful when handling them, and they're very, very, very friendly too.
Okay, so. And recently you just buried a pet not too long ago, right? A cat that you had for a long time.
Yeah. We hadn't had her for a long time. She only survived 6 months.
Oh, really? Did you save her from at a shelter or something?
No, it was from a breeder because we were going to breed her with our other cat because they're a special breed, actually a very rare breed here in the United States. And unfortunately, she had the canova virus, and with the canova virus, which is a topic I'll get into later on in the show here, but because of her suppressed immune system by what the breeder did, the canova virus mutates into what they call FIP, which is a terminal virus, which you can't do anything about, which we fought. I mean, usually they survive 2 weeks. She survived 6 weeks with everything we were doing.
Wow. So that goes to show that you must know something about this sort of thing. Okay, so first of all, it's true in this day and age that people spend a lot of money on their pets. Because your pet is part of your family. And we talk so much about paleo nutrition here on the show, but nowhere is nutrition more important than animals. Animals are eating totally fabricated and unnatural diets. At least humans, we have the remnants of what was a natural diet being replaced by modern foods, but dogs eat basically kibble made from corn. Dogs were never made to eat corn, and I have to believe cat food is probably just as adulterated.
Both are just as bad as each other. We won't even go near any kind of commercial pet food whatsoever. We want to make it from scratch, and that's what we do, is we actually make it from scratch. It actually doesn't work out too expensive when you actually make it by hand. As long as all you need is a meat grinder, and then you can actually just pump it out, you know, as you need it. It's very cost efficient, actually.
Okay, let's talk about cats first, because this show was actually inspired by Camilla Cierzo, who posted on Facebook a message to Elisa saying that she recently switched to a natural diet for her pet cat, and the cat is having frequent bowel movements, clearly some digestive distress. Mm-hmm. When people go from these unnatural diets to natural diets, is it something you have to titrate? You have to add it in slowly and slowly wean off the unnatural food?
That's actually very normal. When we got the cat from the breeder, we had to, well, even with the dog too, all animals, you find a breeder sometimes don't feed them the best food. They think it's the best, of course, you know, they've been misled. But when you change over, you may want to take up to a week to kind of slowly change over. Another thing I found, though, was, this is for Camilla particularly, is that if you supplement the animal with pancreatic enzymes, and they love the pancreatic enzymes, we can just break it open, the capsule open, and, you know, they'll just eat it up as the capsule powder. They don't even have to have it on the food, but supplementing with the pancreatic enzymes will help that process as well with the digestion.
Is that because the dogs are not producing the enzymes needed for the natural food because their bodies have not, these foods have not been introduced in so long?
Yeah, I think that's partly the case, yeah. Okay. And just help smooth over the transition as well. We actually managed to transition over with our dog, Nikita, within one day.
Really? So would you suggest starting out with half the original diet, half the natural diet, mixing the foods together and adding pancreatic enzymes in, and maybe doing that for a day or two, and then slowly going back to a one-third, two-thirds, one-quarter, three-quarters, until finally the animal is eating all the natural diet?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can try out – depends on the age of the animal. If the animal's been on an unnatural diet for a very long time, then you do probably want to follow that process. But if the animal's new, you know, like a new pet, maybe only 12 weeks old or something, then you probably got to transition over a little bit faster.
Really? So it can be done in a day or so then?
Yeah, we did it in a day with the dog and our cat, I don't know. I mean, it was like he's real fussy anyway, so he only eats the best food. He turns his nose up at anything else.
Is it common to expect the first day or two that the bowel movement of the animal will be disrupted, maybe change a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely normal. It could be even as much as, you know, a week.
Okay. What kind of diets should cats be eating?
Well, this is kind of interesting, is that I did a lot of research on this. First thing, they shouldn't be eating cooked food. There's actually a book which is actually based on a study into nutrition, this by Francis Pottinger.
I was just going to say, Dr. Francis Pottinger did amazing research on cats.
Yeah, the book's Pottinger's Cats, and in there, you know, it goes into how the cooked food actually causes destruction to the animals over several generations to a point where the animals are unable to breed anymore.
Yeah.
So that's telling you that, you know, cooked food is not suitable for animals, and most of the food you're getting from the commercial side is all cooked food, most of it.
Pottinger actually not only noticed that the changes in the frequency of mating and litters, but that cooked food also caused a greater variance between the pups. They all look different, where animals that were fed a strictly raw diet, all of the kittens looked identical, like clones of each other. They had the same patterns, the same colors. Also, cats that died were then eviscerated, and the animals that were being fed of cooked diets not only had shorter lives, but also their organs had a pale, pasty look, and even some of the organs were in the wrong place. They were transverse instead of vertical, or they were abnormally enlarged or deflated. When he eviscerated the cats that ate raw diets, their organs, the viscera of the body was pink, and the organs were beautiful, he said. I mean, one of the comments he made about that, there's actually some, if you Google Dr. Francis Pottinger, you'll see some of the original plates the photos is what I'm talking about when I say plates, that he took of these cats with their insides exposed. And you can see a huge difference between the cats that were eating a raw diet versus the cats that were eating a cooked diet. Did you notice that also, Peter?
Yeah, there was also skeletal changes, too, between the animals eating a cooked and raw diet.
Really?
There was actually, if you go and read the book, actually, you probably find some of these pictures online, too, but here's some great illustrations showing the differences between the actual skeletal, particularly with the skull, differences between the two animals. I mean, you see this in humans, too. I actually had a niece who passed away because of organs were exactly like that and were in the wrong place and stuff. And, you know, these things happen in humans as much as animals because of many cases because of the nutrition and the diet.
Okay, so before we take our first break, it's always thought that cats should be eating fish, but yet cats don't swim. So if we took the Paleolithic style or the ancestral approach to an animal's diet, what should cats be? I got to believe cats should be eating meats because they were natural predators. They would run down small animals like rabbits and stuff like that. They wouldn't be fishing for salmon.
Yeah, exactly. And they wouldn't be catching cows either. So beef is out. That's a big one, is that most people feed them a lot of, you know, if they think they're doing the right thing and feed them a lot of beef and buffalo and other things, they aren't going to be catching these animals. You know, rabbit, we give our animal a rabbit and chicken and quail, and you know, even as much as you can look at snake as well, all these animals that they naturally would hunt down.
Is there a way to get these natural animal foods online, or do you have to relegate yourself to sourcing out and I have some suggestions, I'm sure you do too, but can you get this stuff online? Are there food manufacturers that are now sensitive to the paleo cat diet?
Not as much as I like to see. You know, US Wellness Meats does I think it's a buffalo venison. Yeah, buffalo it is, I think. But that's not suitable for a cat, but definitely suitable for the dog.
Right.
We have a Siberian husky. So, you know, she's naturally kind of part wolf in there. So she's got that hunting anyway, which normally would eat maybe buffalo anyway.
Right, and also dogs hunted in packs, so it would be very common for them to be able to take down a very large animal.
Yeah, exactly. So for her, that's okay, but not for the cat. I mean, the cat, we actually just make everything from scratch because we just like to know what's in there as well. And especially when the important factor is the organ meats. I mean, people don't add in the organ meats. You never mix animal species together. So never mix in, you know, rabbit liver with chicken or anything like that.
Interesting you should say that, because when I was a hunter, I would come upon deer that were run down by coy dogs when I was hunting in the Adirondacks. And interestingly enough, the only thing that was torn into were the hams on the back legs and the guts. They would pull the entrails out and eat the entrails and all of the organs from the deer. Everything else was left intact, just the hams from the back legs and the guts they would eat.
Yeah, I mean, the hamstrings and back legs, they're really, you know, very muscular. That's why they use that, you know, go for that. And, of course, the organ meat. And we give them a lot of organ meats in with the meat. We make sure we grind it all up together in a meat grinder. You can add them some soft bones in there from the animal as well, because remember, they need the bone structure as well.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. I want to pick this discussion up on the other end of the break about sourcing and putting together your own diet for your pet. We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse this hour, and we're talking about feeding your pet. We're going to get into supplementing as well. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about pet nutrition. It's really an important subject because most of us focus on feeding ourselves, and yet we feed our pets these artificial diets. I have a friend who is buying a very good product made by one of the top companies, supposedly, Eukanuba. Eukanuba. You know what I'm talking about, right, Peter?
Actually, no. I don't know any of the main brands because of the fact that I make all our own food from scratch.
Okay. Well, one of the top companies out there is a company called Eukanuba, and they introduced a product decades ago when I had my first dog, Theron, who was a Hungarian Vizsla, called Science Diet. And they name it Science Diet to attract people, to make people think they're buying something that's scientifically superior for their pet. And the first ingredient in it is corn.
I know the science diet. A lot of veterinarians push that one.
Dogs don't eat corn. And never mind the fact that GMO corn disrupts pigs that eat. It destroys the lining of their stomach. It gives them the equivalent of IBS and GERD. It shuts down their reproductive system. They don't reproduce as frequently. I mean, corn.
It's going to cause organ damage too.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so let's talk about if you can't buy this food online, and I have a funny feeling, like many other things in life, we're not on the front end of this curve. There are people out there in companies that are preparing to sell you natural diet foods for your dogs and cats. Can people just go to, say, and it's hard to even find one of these in this day and age, the local butcher or the local grocery store, and say buy chicken gizzards and chicken livers and just feed that raw to their cats?
Yeah, but you got to be really careful that it's all organic because of the, remember, the organ meats is really compromised by any of the chemicals and
especially,
drugs they use on animals.
Especially the livers, because that's the filtering system.
Yeah, so we got to be careful about that. And also you want to combine it with actually the flesh meat as well, So, you know, what we do is we usually buy the chicken locally here, the organic chicken. We might have to be a little bit more careful now with the radiation for that. We might have to bring it in from the other side of the country.
Right.
But, so we're buying the local chicken primarily, and then we'll order in from U.S. Wellness Meats. We can order in the liver. They have chicken liver, chicken hearts, and we grind that together with some bones. We get the meat with the bones on, so we get all the soft bones, and that's for the cat. The dog, of course, gets whole bones as well.
Well, we'll get into the dog in a second. So do you make like a 1 week supply so that it, because obviously this is perishable, you have to keep it refrigerated, right?
Yeah. Another thing too. Yeah. We probably do it every three days.
Okay.
In a big container. I mean, our cat eats a Schultz lock. I mean, like, unbelievable. He eats probably five times a day, maybe six times a day. Most people don't feed their animal. This funny thing is that if you feed them an actual diet, they don't get fat. Our cat is nothing but muscle. And, people pick him up and comment that he's so firm and hard. It's all muscle. We make him run around. He plays with the dog a lot now too. So, feeding him, we put food down for him. If he doesn't want it, he won't eat it.
Right.
He just walk away from it. And that's the thing is that, cats, unlike dogs, you don't have to regulate their feeding. They'll self-regulate as long as you feed them a natural diet.
Right.
It's all the corn and grains and the product that make them fat. You see so many fat cats out there.
I mean, anybody who didn't get that message on so many of the shows we talked about, the last step that a beef producer does with their cow is feed them nothing but corn, and they gain 3 pounds of fat, marble fat, a day by eating nothing but corn. So if you're not convinced that corn makes fat, I don't know what else to tell you. Okay, so this is obviously a very expensive approach, isn't it? Or do cats eat so little that this is not that expensive?
It costs us for the cat between $10 to $15 a day.
Okay.
For the cat alone.
That is expensive. There's a lot of us out there who have to get by $10 a day for lunch, for ourselves.
See, that's the thing is a lot of people kind of take on pets without – I mean, we do go – I mean, I think you can do it for half that, at least, maybe even a little bit less, but we kind of go a little bit excessive with them because we feel like we – taking the responsibility to take on these animals, and we have the responsibility to feed them the best that we can. And we have a little bit more access to these foods, so why not feed them what we can? If you can't afford it, then just do the best you can, but still looking for as much of a natural.
Well, what about not going organic? Let's say a guy says, man, I want to feed my cat a natural diet. A gal says, I just can't do organic. I can go out and buy chicken livers, I can buy chicken gizzards, and I can buy whole chicken fryers and Purdue fryers, and I can definitely grind this stuff up and chunk it up and feed my cat that stuff. That's economical. But once you cross that organic threshold, you're talking about going from $1.70 a pound to $5 a pound.
Well, the organ meats aren't that expensive. So if you're going to do it, I'd go for organ meats organic, because organ meats you can buy in bulk really cheap. It's actually very cheap. The meat itself is probably more expensive. So if you were going to cut and do it on a budget, then I'd buy the meat, which tends to be more expensive when it's organic, of course, buy the actual meat itself as being just the standard stuff, and then mix in the organic organs. I think the organs should be organic, and I don't think there's much difference in price, really, between the organic and the commercial stuff.
When it comes to organ meat you're talking about, huh?
Yeah, all the organ meats.
What other organ meats are available? Stomach is tripe. Can you feed them tripe?
Yeah, we feed them the same stuff we eat, so we eat everything. So, that's what they naturally would eat. Don't find the tripe is kind of harder to get hold of, and we would get it. We probably want to have it for ourselves.
But. Oh man, but I cooked tripe about 3 years ago. Was the last time I cooked it. Boy, it smells up the whole house when you're first boiling it to clean it out. I mean, it's really stinky.
Yeah, but, I'm kind of used to living in Asia and everything, but. Over there, you eat everything, including eyes. So,
oh yeah.
So it's kind of normal to eat all this stuff. You can actually get brains, which are actually very rich, and some animals will eat the brains. Particularly the dog will eat brains. So there's a lot of different. There's everything available. It's just a matter of finding the right source.
I'll tell you the real magic, in my humble opinion, is making friends with a butcher. If it's not the butcher at a local large grocery store, find yourself, it's so hard to find meat markets any longer. When I was a kid, there was a butcher and there was a vegetable store. They weren't connected. And you could go to the butcher, the guy's name was John the butcher. My mom would go there and get her chicken. She would get her meat. And you could go to him
Like sometimes my mother would just want fat, you know, to use for the renderings. She would go mm-hmm. in and he would have plenty of fat laying over. Of course, he was trimming meat all day long. And so the ideal thing would be to find the butcher, which leads me to the next question. How important is fat in a cat's diet? Should we be putting fat in there as well?
Well, actually, naturally, they don't eat too much of the fat on the animal. They chew through it, so there is a small percentage they eat. But as you say, the first thing they go for is the organs.
Yeah.
But to get to the organs, they've got to eat through some of the fat too. So there is some degree of fat in their diet naturally if you think about it. But most of the animals they consume aren't that fatty layer. You know, if you look at chicken, for example, other small birds, rabbit even, there's not that much visceral fat on them. So you're probably not looking as much as what the dog would eat.
Okay. So I guess for the cat lovers out there, hopefully PJ Braun is listening to this show too, because he has a cat named Piglet who is a big part of his life. For the cat lovers, I guess the first step is to source out locations where you can start buying this stuff that they're normally throwing away as scraps, perhaps.
Well, like in California, there's still a lot of those little butcher places around, and many of them do stock organic stuff as well. So, there is that option. The actual organs we buy in from U.S. Wellness Meats, just because we buy in bulk and we just do it that way, it does actually work out quite cheap. But if you can find a good local butcher that's close by to you, then that could be a even better way.
Yeah, a butcher, a stockyard, or even a farm. You know what? I don't have a pet, but I have a farmer that I buy raw milk from, that I buy eggs from, that I get raw butter from and raw cream from. I bet you, and he sells chickens too. I don't buy his chickens right now because I'm getting my chickens from another farmer, but I'm sure that I could say to him, hey, I'd like to buy some chickens maybe that you can't sell for whatever reason. Maybe, there's something wrong with it. You're not going to be able to sell it. I'd like to buy that for pet food. Find a source to start buying what would be considered scrap meat that they're not going to sell to humans and take advantage of the price leverage.
Well, even buying an animal from the farmers, directly from the farmers, is going to be much cheaper. Even if you buy the stuff they're selling for humans, it's just going to be probably really well priced. So if you've got a farmer close by you can contact and do that with, go for it. I have a few patients around the country, for their own diet, is they just buy a whole animal. And it works out so cheap when they buy a whole animal from a farmer, and the farmer butchers it for them and cuts it all up and packs it for them. And they have everything from the whole animal, and that lasts them so long, and it's so cheap. So that could be the same way you could go with the pet food. On saying that too, just something else reminds me, before you had a show where you mentioned about brushing the animal's teeth. If the animals are eating a natural diet, you don't need to brush their teeth.
I said that. I said that on the show. I said, who's brushing coyotes' teeth? They don't. And you know what else? You know what else beguiles me, Peter? And we gotta take a break. You take your dog to a veterinarian and he wants to express the anal gland. And I remember the first time a doctor said, well, your dog's anal gland needs to be expressed. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, we have to, that's where the scent comes from when they go poopy. That's where the scent comes from. I said, so what do you mean you have to, he goes, well, it gets backed up sometimes. I says, well, who's expressing wolves' anal glands? Nobody. Why do you have to express my dog's anal? Just leave it alone, I said. And he goes, well, it's going to cost you money later when he has problems. The dog never had a problem. But you know what's interesting? Once they start expressing the anal gland, they have to do it all the time.
Yeah, they lose their ability. I mean, that is another thing too. They actually can be affected, it is affected by the diet. So
of course. Of course. If animals are eating the way they're supposed to eat, you don't have to brush their teeth. You don't have to worry about their anal glands or their coats. And also, they don't get these neurotic tendencies, cribbing and walking around in circles all the time and all this other stuff that animals do that, ironically, children do also who have diets heavily laden in corns and sugars and so on and so forth. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to pick it up with dogs, okay?
Okay.
We're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse today about a totally different subject. We're talking about pet nutrition, and then towards the end of the show, we're going to talk about supplementation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fast customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEForce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Peter Rouse. You know him, you love him. Many of you go to him for your own personal health issues. And now we're talking about keeping your pets healthy. And interestingly enough, someone posted on Facebook, I forget his name, this morning, that we're taking this life extension thing way too far when we're talking about keeping our pets living longer. And I don't think it's any more about pets. The same message for us as for pets. It's not about keeping them living longer, but it's keeping them well and active and happy while they live, not necessarily making them live longer.
Well, that comes back to, you know, what we were saying before about the cost involved. Well, what's about the cost involved when you have to take it to the vet all the time when it's sick from the food it's eating? With Bella, our cat that died, we spent probably about $4,000 on her in that very short time, just trying to get it, you know, get her through that thing, which unfortunately was terminal and impossible to cure. But I mean, $4,000 could go away a long way to supplying her with food for the next couple of years.
I am totally in agreement with you, because in this day and age, when you become attached to your pets, going to the veterinarian is not like it used to be. Today, you go to a veterinarian, it's like going into any other hospital. You have to be prepared to pay for everything because there's no insurance for your pet. You're paying for oxygen, you're paying for the administration of drugs. Very few people, when faced with the decision to put the animal to sleep because of the expense that they're about to incur, most of them opt for the expense because it's like saying to the kids, hey, you know, Sparky's not coming home anymore. Because mommy and daddy don't want to drop $1,500 to save Sparky's life. And the kids are like, what?
Well, they actually do have pet insurance, but most of them, or all of them I've seen, have all been rip-offs. They don't, it's a real rip-off. So people looking at the pet insurance, be really careful what you're looking at there, because most of them are designed to rip you off rather than actually
support.
You know what?
Put $500 a year aside in a cookie jar for your pet. And maybe in 3, 4, 5 years after you've gotten the pet, you'll have $2,000 in there. And God forbid something happens to the pet, you take the money out of there. It's called cookie jar insurance.
You probably need a couple of $1,000 too.
Yeah.
So that was me being silent. But yeah, you are looking at a couple of $1,000 when you take an animal to a vet for anything serious. It's amazing how
I have to tell you a disgusting story, but it's the truth. I had a Shih Tzu that ate a tampon. And I was living in Las Vegas at the time, and the doctor who wrote the book on stomach surgery for pets, Dr. Bojarab, happened to be in Las Vegas at a veterinarian convention. And I brought this dog in after the second day of listlessness, and I could see his eyes were getting cloudy. They x-rayed him. They said something is lodged in his intestines. We don't know what it is, but you're lucky because Dr. Bojarab is here in Las Vegas speaking. He's the guy who wrote the book about these types of surgeries, and it cost me $1,500 for the surgery and another $1,000. I'm going back 24, 25 years ago. $1,500 for the surgery and another $1,000 for the emergency room fees and so on associated with $2,500 to have the tampon removed from this dog. So the dog could live. And the dog ended up living another probably 11, 12 years.
Yeah, it's probably double that now, Carl.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't have pets anymore.
Yeah, it's gets pretty expensive. I'm saying that, you know, like some people post about cats being 22 years of age. I mean, my average cat lived to 25.
Really?
And that's normal life expectancy for a cat is about 25. So, you know, if you feed them a natural diet too, you're going to have them with you a lot longer. I'm speaking to a lot of people and they're kind of happy if they get 15 years out of the animal, you know, out of the cat. And it's just like, you know, you're missing another 10 years of, you know, that companionship. So, I mean, doing the natural diet also gives you a longer time with them as well.
Okay, let's talk about dogs for a second. I got a feeling that it's a lot cheaper to feed dogs because you can just go and get beef scraps, organic beef liver. While the dog may eat more, I have a feeling access to the foods that dogs can eat to be on a natural diet is a little bit less expensive. Am I off base on that?
It's probably a little bit easier. We do feed Nikita, our dog, a lot of the same food that we feed our cat too, which is the chicken with all the combined foods. But we also feed her some buffaloes with the organ meats mixed in as well. We feed her bones. Bones are real cheap, and they love chewing on those things, and they get the marrow.
What about the veterinarian that will say never give your dog bones? That they'll get. And obviously, I disagree. But I mean, what do you say to people who say, "Yeah, but my vet said never give my dog bones because they'll get lodged in his intestines"?
That's cooked bones, not raw bones. That's the difference, is cooked bones will do that. They become very brittle, especially with, like, you know, when you cook. Okay, for example, cut open a chicken raw, feel the bones in, and you know, see how soft and easy they are to kind of pull apart. Then cook it and see what happens to the bone. They become so brittle and sharp, and they can actually stab you.
That's true, right. They become very, very pointy, yes.
It's the cooked bones you don't want to give them, and I wouldn't give them cooked food anyway. But with the raw bones too, what we find is we make sure we get the bones with the, you know, big lodges of marrow in them, and she just loves it and digs out the marrow out of them. First thing she does is dig out the marrow out of the bones.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny because that's what I do with bones too. Everybody gets grossed out when I eat chicken because I eat the ends of the bones and I suck everything out of the bones. And that's something I learned from my father.
Well, it's pretty good. I mean, that's why I use a slow cooker a lot personally for my own, you know. I cook the whole animal. If it's a chicken, we cook the whole chicken there with all the bones and everything. And the slow cooker draws all that out into the water, and you're drinking the water and the food. Yeah, and it's kind of into the whole mix.
Now, so, what about that for pets? There's something called, what is it called? Bone soup or, You know what I'm talking about? When you just take bones and boil them and make a broth, that bone broth? Bone broth.
Bone broth is good for humans, definitely not good for animals. You want to give them just a raw.
Okay.
I mean, again, it's the cooking of the food, and it's not natural to them. So I think that, you know, just giving them a whole bone, because they need to chew on it. They naturally would chew on bones in the wild. It's something that can, you know, you're talking about cleaning their healthy teeth. You know, this is something that keeps the teeth somewhat healthy. So I think that's an important process they need to do. Dogs can eat a little bit of vegetables, though, in their diet, because they would naturally kind of scrounge for vegetables, some vegetables. And it's like, I'd say maybe 5% of the diet. Cats, of course, are pure carnivores.
Yeah, that's true, because dogs will even eat grass. You know?
Yeah, I mean, cats will eat grass, but that's to aid in digestion. Actually, our cat's kind of strange. We can't have flowers in the house because he'll eat the flowers. He goes crazy over the flowers and or, you know, the leaves on the end of a pineapple. You know,
really?
He goes crazy over those.
Interesting. But why not just let him eat them?
Well, we do. The flowers, we don't let him eat them because he pulls down the vases and breaks all the vases and everything. So, I mean, we can't have that. But,
yeah, right, right.
We do let him eat the ends of the pineapple. We don't have pineapple in here often, but when we do, he eats the end of it. And, you know, that's where bromelain comes from, and they, you know, it aids in digestion. So I guess that way he's naturally drawn to it is for the digestive aid naturally found in the pineapple leaves.
So once again, dog owners can go to the same place that the cat owners are going. You can get chicken. You have the nice thing about dogs, you have a greater variety. If you're not locked into these smaller animals, you can feed them anything that's available at a good price, whether it's bison, cow, chicken, rabbit, anything, because really dogs will eat any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we do go once a week. We get her salmon because naturally she would actually, she's a Siberian husky, so she would actually probably get salmon in the wild. But we're very careful where we source it from. It costs us about a lot of money just for one piece of salmon because we get the best we can find. It's actually sourced here locally in LA here. I get it. But it's actually caught, probably the cleanest waters I can find anywhere in the world so far. And that costs us probably $20 just to feed her one meal. But that's just one treat a week. We give her that just because she'd naturally get that in her natural environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's just a treat for her. And people don't have to go that crazy. We just kind of do that as a treat.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to just do a top-line summary of supplements, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Peter Rouse about feeding your pet. When we come back, we're going to talk about supplements that could benefit your pet. After Peter is done, we're going to have Dr. Andrew on, and we're going to be doing part two of the amino acid series. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs. Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects: estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, we're going to cover information about supplementing for pets. And why not? I mean, think about it. Pets are getting unnatural diets. Why do we supplement? I don't mean performance supplementation. I don't mean something to give you a muscle pump. I'm talking about, why do we supplement with things like magnesium and so on? Because we don't get it in our diet to the degree that we need it, because food has changed. We know that. Even Dr. Leslie Aiello, head of the Werner Gren Foundation, said it's virtually impossible to eat paleo in this day and age. And Matt Lalonde made a great point. Fruit today isn't the fruit of our Paleolithic ancestors. Fruit didn't have this kind of sugar in it that it does today. Bananas were smaller and hot, fibery, and didn't taste sweet. I mean, so, you know, apples were green and sour and bitter tasting. The fruit has morphed into something more like candy today. So animals are faced with the same problem. They're not hunting. They're not eating the diets that they used to eat. So supplementation does play a role. What kind of supplements should we be looking at for cats, Peter?
Well, the cat and dog is actually very, very similar, and I kind of like to approach it similar to what I do in humans. Just to add what you were just saying too, it's not just about kind of adding in what's missing, but it's about optimizing. You know, we can do better than what we did in the past because we have this technology now, so why not improve their health beyond what was capable of in the natural wild? So, you know, these supplements are going to help you with that. The first step I would go towards is when we look at gastrointestinal function and making sure the digestion is working really well. So we look at, you know, a number of digestive aids. Primarily, I love to give them the pancreatic enzymes I've talked about in other shows, which is actually from allergy research. That one there, we just break open the capsule. And with the supplements, people are kind of asking me before, how do you make your animals eat these capsules and tablets? We don't. All these supplements come in capsules, and we just break open the capsule, the powder, into the food as we're grinding it. So it's naturally ground into the meat, and they don't even notice it.
But don't the digestive enzymes start working on the meat right then and there? If once they meet some moisture, won't they start breaking down the meats?
Yeah, the pancreatic enzymes we actually break open just as we're feeding them put them on there. The pancreatic enzymes, as I said earlier in the show, they love to eat it just without anything. They'll eat it in between meals, which is actually very good for reducing any kind of inflammation and any kind of internal issues there as well, in addition to digestion. So we look at pancreatic enzymes. Thorne Research does a really amazing job with some of the supplements they put out there. They do have brands and products especially designed for dogs and some designed for cats, and then there's a kind of a carryover between the two. So after we looked at digestion, which is usually just the pancreatic enzymes, is usually enough for the animals because we feed them just a natural diet. Just a little bit of maybe we use a probiotic product as well on top of the food as well at that point, sprinkle on top, and they tend to like that as well. And it also helps with making sure they have a healthy flora. Dr. Andrew, I think, posted something about talking about the flora just yesterday, I think, in the gut and how important that is. And it's actually very important for the animals as it is in humans. So we supplement with some probiotics as well, which has some enzymes in it as well, naturally as well, additional enzymes. With the dog, we will also supplement her with some omega-3 oil. We're using one that we use from Nordic. That's a pet cod liver oil for cats and dogs. We don't give it to the cat because the cat would not naturally have a lot of this in their diet because, as you say, they don't eat a lot of fish and they don't eat a lot of big beef animals which are high in omega-3. The animals they're eating are lower in omega-3, so they don't actually need to be supplemented with omega-3 in that much. But, however, the dog, we do supplement with omega-3 for the cod liver oil, which would be naturally they'll get in the environment that they're in.
Now, do you find that the dogs digest cod liver oil okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just don't go overboard with it. She'll drink it by itself. We just put a little bit in the bottom, like literally a capful in the bottom of a bowl, and she'll just lick it up in 2 seconds.
I notice if I take anything more than like 2 tablespoons of cod liver oil, I burp it back up for quite a while. But if I take a couple teaspoons, I've resorted to just taking it every day now at a teaspoon a day instead of my mega dose twice a week. Because when I take that mega dose, it just doesn't digest very fast for me. I must be lacking something in my digestive tract.
Well, first look at the bile. Make sure you've got, I think I've sent you some ox bile in the past, but make sure you're taking some bile there. Maybe your bile isn't producing enough. But with her, we only give her a capful, and it's a small cap too. So it's a capful. One of those bottles will last some time. So if you just give a capful a day, that's usually enough. Going back to kind of this has been supplemental plus and or addition to the food is something else that we forgot to mention was eggs.
Oh, wow.
Because naturally in the wild, they actually eat eggs if you think about it.
Sure, sure. So animals love to prey on the eggs of birds all the time. So both cats and dogs could eat raw eggs.
Yeah, absolutely. She loves it. She licked that up.
My father used to give our dog Friday, which was a part pit bull, part German shepherd, a raw egg every now and again. And my dad would tell me that makes their coat shiny. Now, I don't know if that's true or not.
It's actually true. It's found to improve the hair quality because of the fats found in the type of fats found in the egg. So, again, organic eggs. I mean, this goes without
doubt. How many eggs should you be giving your cat a week, and how many eggs should you be giving your dog a week?
Well, we give her probably one a day. That's naturally what she'd mount, and the cat probably just one or two a week.
What will you find that dogs and cats will shy away from raw meats and raw and all this stuff, or do they just go for it? It's just instinctive in them.
Well, I think with the dogs, they'll just go for anything that, anything that's on the ground. So I don't think you have a problem with the dog. But the cats, if they've been fed from day one, they'll really go for it. And thing with our cat, some people have a problem with cats kind of jumping on the table trying to eat the food. I mean, our cat will never touch our food, on the cooked food or anything like that on the table. He'll never touch that. He'll never touch any other kind of food. It has to be prepared for him in the way he likes it too. So he's very, very fussy in that regard. So I think once they get on the diet, they won't even touch any crap food. So you don't have to worry about them eating any kind of bad food around the neighborhood if you have your cats go outside. Our cat's, of course, an indoor cat. We take him everywhere with us, but he stays with us the whole time so we can control that. But if you have a cat that wanders around the yard and stuff and you're worried about them picking up things, if you're feeding a natural diet, we've found, and this is actually through some research I've looked into too, they don't actually pick up this other food because they're satisfied in their nutrition from the food that you're feeding them.
We only have a few minutes left, and I know before we go to this next question, you announced something to me just through the last break, because we were talking about in between the break about the expense of making this decision that people are probably going to think to themselves, I want to do the right thing by my pet, but my God, now I have to start buying organic this and organic that, and supplementing obviously becomes something that is not always in the budget. So you made me an offer that you want to announce to the listeners right now, right?
Yeah. This will be up in the Superhuman Radio section of our website, where we have the sales for you guys. We're going to sell all the Thorne Research and a few other products we sell with pet formulas or at wholesale pricing, so you get it extremely cheap. I mean,
so it'll be wholesale plus shipping, obviously. If people go to afperformancecenter.com and click the link that says store, you'll find on the left hand side a section that says Supreme Radio or SHR listeners. What does it say? SHR listeners?
Superhuman Radio listeners.
Okay. And when you click that, you'll find all the special discounted supplements for you. Like the CoQ10 PQQ supplements. You'll also now find supplements for your pets, but the supplements for your pets will be wholesale. They will be discounted so that it makes it affordable for you to buy them if you want to buy them. I think that's very generous, very, very generous. Now, I have to ask you a question because we're running low on time.
Okay.
What does it mean when a dog will eat another animal's feces?
With the dogs, I think what they've suggested that it could be because they're not getting the nutrition they're looking for. But I think with dogs, it's also the fact that, you know, maybe that dog's eating something they liked and they wanted that. But I think it's more likely that if they're eating the feces, if it's a full-grown dog, if it's puppy, it's because it's just exploring, eating everything. But if it's a full-grown dog, I think it could be a nutritional deficiency in their diet too.
Yeah, I've heard when they eat cat's poop, it's a mineral deficiency. I don't know why it would be a mineral deficiency when a dog eats cat poop. But some animals will eat other animals' poop, and it makes perfect sense to me. That's funny. They smell something that they wanted that the other animal ate, so that they're getting it vicariously through the other animal.
Yeah, who knows? You know, but I think also you got to look for them eating dirt. So if a adult dog is eating dirt too, that's another mineral deficiency you got to look at too.
Yeah, and obviously if they're eating natural diets, they're not going to have these mineral deficiencies because there's so much mineral in liver and in kidney and in meat in general. So they're not going to have these. Yeah, and bones as well, right? Calcium and everything else that they're going to get from digesting bones.
Yeah. Just quickly to kind of summarize on the supplements, we use a small animal antioxidant as well, just support the immune system. We actually use immunogen also. I think the immune system is very important because we don't vaccinate our animals. Well, the dog, we had to get a couple of vaccines, unfortunately. And I'm dead set against vaccines for animals. So anybody wants more information on the vaccine thing, just get the book called Stop the Shots. That's by John Clifton. And that kind of goes into details why not to give these animals vaccines, just as we don't want to give it to humans. Also, we found that giving B vitamin complex 2 in the pet form as well is very effective for the animals as well. We've talked about, you know, B vitamins involved with methylation, but it's other factors they're involved with the pets as well.
Right. Okay. All right, Peter, I want to thank you for coming on the air today and talking about this. I also want to thank Carmela Cierzo for suggesting this particular topic. And I know that it's a topic that's important to lots of people out there. I know lots of people have dogs and cats that they love, and you know, we need to strive to try to introduce natural foods for them too. Raw eggs, I think, are very inexpensive to feed your pet, and clearly getting scrap meat and organ meat from a local butcher, or making friends with the butcher at your large grocery store and saying, hey, I want to start feeding my pet this stuff. Can I buy this stuff from you on the side, or what do you throw away? What nights do you throw it away? I'll go in the garbage myself and get it, whatever it takes. Try to introduce these foods for your pets. They will be stronger and happier and healthier, and you won't be needing to take them to the veterinarian as often. Peter, thanks so much for doing the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. If anybody has any questions, they can post them on your Facebook page, and I'll be happy to kind of cover as much information as you want.
Great, great. Okay, thanks so much, Peter.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so when we come back, we'll have Dr. Andro on talking about part two of the amino acid series. You're not going to want to miss that. Some great information. We'll be right back.
We will rock you. You're an old man.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse. CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
I just want to remind everybody that you can get a free sample of Kodiak Cream by going to superhumanradio.com at the bottom of the page, clicking the link, and putting your address information, and they will send you what is equivalent to 6 applications so you can find out for yourself how wonderful Kodiak Cream works by relieving aches and pains without NSAIDs or pharmaceutical drugs. Completely natural, all herbal, all botanical, and smells great. Don't eat it. I'm telling you, you can, but don't. Okay, you know him and you love him. He is Dr. Andro. We are doing the second installment of the amino acid series that the last show, I posted the show notes up there for people to download, got nothing but great reviews. So today we're going to be talking about more amino acids for superhumans, arginine, ornithine, citrulline, nitric oxide, growth hormone, and beyond. Welcome to the show, Dr. Andro.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, so this is really exciting stuff because these particular amino acids tend to be very popular as performance-enhancing amino acids, but there's a lot more to them, isn't there?
Well, actually there is, and what they are really supposed to do, they are not doing, or they are not exclusively doing what they are supposed to do, and yet people really love them and enjoy taking related products. Before I checked back on the huge seller of supplements, of bodybuilding supplements on the web, that is, I suppose, bodybuilding.com, and interestingly, out of the five top-selling products, two products are so-called nitric oxide boosters, and both of them are of the old generation boosters, which contain arginine, and where arginine is one of the most important ingredients, and where arginine is told, or the supplement producers tell you, that arginine is the nitric oxide booster in this product. So these products really still fly off the shelves, and supplement producers make big money from it.
But why don't people believe the research that shows that arginine does not translate to increases in nitric oxide production?
Well, in one study published in the International Journal of the Sports Society of Nutrition, one of the authors speculated that much is related to the placebo effect. First, you hear it in the advertisement that it gives you major pumps. Then your best buddy buys it, and he has these incredible pumps. And then you try it yourself, and what do you experience? You experience those incredible pumps. But in fact, of course, arginine is related to nitric oxide, and we cannot exclude that. In fact, many of these products have effects, especially those which contain many synergistic amino acids, creatine among them, and other products which all together will give you a certain boost or pump in the gym. And in fact, nobody really knows what the pump really is. First, you normally say that it increases blood flow, but actually these really insane pumps, they result from hypoxia within the muscle tissue. That is, the blood flow is first increased and then the blood gets stuck in the muscle.
Right. It's actually considered muscle congestion.
Yeah, exactly. And interestingly, while low-dose nitric oxide will vasodilate, that is, increase blood flow, high-dose nitric oxide will, in fact, induce hypoxia. And very high doses of nitric oxide would even be toxic and fatal.
Yes, because they can impair cardiac function. They can actually cause the valves not to close properly because they dilate everything.
Yeah, this would be one possible side effect.
And I don't want to get off subject here, but I have to ask you a question. We can always go a little bit long. Phosphodiesterase 5 drugs that are used for erectile dysfunction increase the production of VNOS, I believe, right? Or is it endothelial? I think it's vascular nitric oxide. Wouldn't they be good for increasing nitric oxide during workouts?
I don't know if they would really be good for increasing nitric oxide, but at least they would influence vasodilation. And there's also iacarine, which is a natural product that is also contained in some of these nitric oxide boosters, which is similar effects as Viagra does.
And really?
It does increase vasodilation and thus helps with increased blood flow. But I think this increased blood flow is something completely different from what the users of those nitric oxide products expect, and this is a rather painful sort of pump you get when you're really working out and suddenly your muscles are running out of oxygen and start hurting.
Right.
And feel like they're exploding. And I don't think you would get that from using Viagra during your workout. But I haven't tried yet, so
okay.
I cannot comment on that from personal experience.
Okay. All right. Let's get back to it.
What is interesting to all that is about the whole debate about whether or not arginine boosts nitric oxide, most people tend to forget that arginine, despite not being considered an essential amino acid has very important functions in your body that go way beyond nitric oxide. And thus, even those people who already heard that arginine does not work as a nitric oxide booster, which has been established especially in most of the newer studies on arginine supplementation, even those people who know these studies, they say they are wrong when they think that arginine in general is of no value, or at least of no value for athletes. Because there certainly is a value for everyone from at least some arginine in his nutrition, and this is something I want to start out with and to discuss what exactly arginine is essential for.
Okay.
And actually, it's made by your own body, but it's not synthesized within the liver. Most of the other non-essential amino acids are produced or are transaminated. We talked about that in the last episode.
Right.
So those who haven't listened could download this from the podcast archive and listen to the episode. So most of the non-essential amino acids are manufactured, you could say, by the liver and then released into the bloodstream. That's not the case for arginine. And the way most of the arginine that you do not consume in the food you eat arises or comes into your blood is its synthesis from citrulline. And this, in turn, is synthesized by the intestines from glutamine, glutamate, and proline. So, in fact, you need three other amino acids, or rather two different forms of glutamine and glutamate are interchangeable, they can be interconverted, and proline to first create citrulline, which is then released from the small intestine and taken up by the kidneys. And in the kidneys, there's the arginine production takes place. That's where this takes place.
Mm, interesting.
So it might be, your body may be able to produce arginine, but for that it needs other amino acids. And this does, of course, only work if your gut and your kidney are working optimally. And so if there's a problem with your gut or with your kidney, then arginine suddenly becomes an essential amino acid. And there are also other conditions, such as the most prominent one is burns and severe wounds.
Yes.
When suddenly the need for arginine becomes so overwhelming that your body cannot come up or cannot produce enough arginine in the time it consumes it. And so these are conditions when arginine, a non-essential amino acid, suddenly becomes essential.
Right.
And there are studies which show that even in relatively healthy people, when they are wounded or when they are heavily burned, arginine supplementation enhances wound healing profoundly. And if we look at what a usual human being takes in as far as amounts of arginine are concerned, this is only 3.5 to 5 grams daily. And all those 3.5 to 5 grams daily, they enter the so-called arginine cycle. And this cycle is a cycle that consists basically or mainly of arginine, which is then converted to ornithine, which in turn is converted to citrulline. And then the reaction I described a few moments ago, the synthesis of arginine from citrulline takes place again. So this is like a merry-go-around. And the turnover takes roughly 1 hour in most mammals.
Okay.
So if you are a healthy human being, you could say and you consume enough quality proteins which contain arginine, you certainly would not really need additional arginine supplementation to just keep alive or to even perform at other optimal functional levels.
But the things that contain high amounts of this amino acid are whole animal proteins, correct?
Exactly, and that is why I emphasize that you need to consume high-quality proteins. So you need to eat enough meat, fish, and dairy, And what is pretty interesting, if you really would want to consume citrulline, other than from dietary supplements, the only source with large, or this is only in milligram amounts, of citrulline is watermelon. And watermelon is actually also the first source where people found the amino acid citrulline.
Wow.
In, as a dietary source. So if you consider supplement, or if you for any reason after listening to the show want to consume citrulline in particular, there's actually only one way to get enough fat, and that is to go and buy a supplement which contains citrulline, because you would have to eat really large quantities of watermelon to consume 1 gram of citrulline in its pure form. But back to arginine and its function, or what happens if you would actually become deficient, there is a report from a very old study from the 1940s, which reported in a decrease in sperm motility by 90% in arginine deficient men, and this happened within 9 days of arginine-free nutrition. With these old studies, you always have to take into consideration that sometimes they are not so reliable, but these results have been reproduced in later studies where arginine has HCL administration at 0.5 grams a day helps with fertility in infertile men, and it enhances sperm motility and sperm count. And so if you are having problems impregnating your wife or your girlfriend, you want to have children, this is not the only way arginine can help you, because as we have already discussed, it's also a vasodilator, and it has similar effects as Viagra has. And at least for some men with erectile dysfunction, a small doses of arginine can make a huge difference in terms of how they perform in the bedroom.
Wow.
And as I said, there is large interpersonal differences, and I know from a friend, a friend for whom arginine did not work, but citrulline performed better. So we will come to the differences and why this could be the case later in the show. But now you may remember that in general, supplementing arginine and thus providing the substrate for nitric oxide production could also help with erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
And I think before we go into detail, we will have listeners think about what they heard yet and take a commercial break.
There you go. There you go. Look at that, huh? Is this guy good or what? He's even telling me when to take the breaks now. And that's very interesting stuff. I want to come back. I have some questions. We're talking with Dr. Andro. This is part two of the amino acid series. I will post the notes for this segment later today in the blog area. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Introducing Age Force Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Andro. This is part two of the amino acid series for superhumans. Okay, when we went into the break, we finished up with citrulline actually being a better alternative, perhaps, for men who want to experience better erections because of the availability of its synthesis into nitric oxide. Is citrulline malate the ideal form of oral citrulline?
Citrulline malate, well, it's generally the most available, and it's also the one that has been used in most of the studies. And
okay.
We will get to that later. There is also a synergistic effect of citrulline, which is, of course, the one amino acid which is part of the arginine cycle, and malate, which is part of the Krebs cycle or the citric acid cycle and is also involved in ATP production.
Okay.
So by supplementing citrulline malate, you you catch two flies with one slice. So
gotcha.
It's a double whammy, you could call it.
Okay.
There's two advantages in one. And the main advantage over arginine though, when it comes to those vasodilating effects, is that it is absorbed in a different and metabolized in a different way. But we will discuss that in a few minutes.
Okay.
First, I would rather like to go into the effect all those metabolites, arginine and its metabolites, which are then reconverted to arginine share, and talk about what arginine is actually used for in our bodies.
Okay.
And if you look at the textbook definition, this says arginine is a conditionally essential amino acid. We already talked about that, under which conditions it's becoming essential. That is involved in protein synthesis, the detoxification of ammonia, and its conversion to glucose, as well as being catabolized to produce energy. So, if you summarize this, it's important to build tissue, it's important to detoxify your body, and what's interesting, it uses this detoxification to recycle the toxic substances and Some of them can be used as energy sources for your body, and in general, it's used to provide energy. And the interesting thing is that arginine, of course, cannot do all that by itself, but most is done by byproducts of this cycle, and byproducts or byproducts of arginine metabolism. And one of the most best known byproducts, and I think many of listeners won't be familiar with that, is creatine. Creatine is a byproduct, or is an amino acid, the synthesis of which requires arginine. And in fact, it requires very large amounts of arginine. So Wu and Morris estimated that for a 70 or 140 pound male, 2.3 grams per day are needed just to maintain the creatine that is used just when you're leading a normal life. So if you remember that the average human being consumes, or the lower amount an average human being consumes, is 3 grams a day, and you use 2.3 grams of these 3 grams of arginine just to produce creatine, then much of what you eat, or much of the amount of arginine you eat, is used for creatine production if you do not supplement creatine.
Okay.
The interesting thing, though, is that another aspect of this production of creatine from arginine is that it also requires the methylation of a certain guanidine acetate, so of another byproduct which is methylated and then is used to form creatine. And so if you supplement with arginine and you produce creatine from this arginine, then you also influence the amount of methylation or methyl donors you still have for other purposes. And we all know that this is important in all sorts of antioxidant processes in your body, that methylation is important in this regard.
And we know that adequate amounts of B vitamins are required for the methylation process, correct?
Of course. Okay. B vitamins are some of the important factors here, okay. Yeah. And, another intermediate or another byproduct of or metabolic product produced from arginine is agmatine. And this is not so much known, and I do not want to go too much into details, but it's in fact important for brain health, and it helps, for example, to reduce ischemic brain damage, and it's also an important intermediate in the production of polyamines. And these, in fact, are, again, important for several metabolic processes.
Right.
Then we have glutamate, which is also produced from arginine, the polyamines themselves, about which I've talked, and, of course, ornithine and citrulline, which are the major and most important products that are produced from arginine. And last but not least, it's the good old nitric oxide we've been starting out with. That is a product that is produced from arginine. And when I'm talking about production, then I'm meaning that there are certain enzymes that catalyze these reactions. So, in fact, by supplementing arginine or even by just eating or just consuming arginine from your foods, you just give your body the building blocks.
Right.
What he does with this building blocks is a very complex system and a complex enzymatic system, and the amount of enzymes that are present in your body in general and in specific tissues decides what happens to the arginine, whether it's converted to ornithine and used to dispose of ammonia, or if it's converted to nitric oxide and vasodilates your muscles or other organs. this is all up to how much of those enzymes are present in your body.
So I have a question. I just want to go back just for a second, and then we can get back on track here. What happens if you supplement both creatine and, say, citrulline? Since creatine is manufactured in this process, does it allow more of the citrulline to be used somewhere else? Or, as far as the arginine goes, I should say, since citrulline...
Supplementing citrulline to increase arginine...
Right.
Fine. So In general, by supplementing citrulline or arginine, you, of course, would have more these building blocks available. And then we come to this interesting enzymatic cascade, because those enzymes are really tightly regulated by your body. And there are studies which show that if you supplement dietary creatine, then the enzymes, the enzyme which is responsible for this conversion, which gets the job done, it's down-regulated. So there's less production of creatine by your body itself if it already gets enough creatine from nutrition or supplemental sources.
Gotcha. Okay.
So in fact, you would have more arginine, more free arginine for other proteins.
Yeah, and that's what I suspected, because obviously I've been supplementing with creatine for a very long time, and if I'm going to start taking arginine, it's going to be used for something other than the creatine kinase cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what's also important is that I already mentioned you have a cycle with this arginine, ornithine, citrulline, arginine, ornithine, citrulline.
Right.
And so you do not really waste the arginine you use here. So therefore, it's not that bad that you consume, if you consume only 3 grams and you use 2.3 grams of these to produce creatine, but it's not optimal, of course.
Gotcha. What would you say optimal levels of daily arginine should be?
Well, for a normal person, I think you would be fine with those 5 grams you get from what you're eating. If you have special demands, for an athlete, for example, it could be advisable to get 3 to 5 grams of additional L-arginine. But it's debatable whether you have to take it in an isolated form as arginine or citrulline, or whether just consuming additional protein shakes will bring you up to those levels. And if it's not even more beneficial to get arginine or citrulline in concert with all those other amino acids, which are also involved in muscle metabolism, than just to supplement them individually.
Okay.
But in fact, it's interesting that you always have to consider that the arginine, of course, first has to get into your system, and that's not actually so easy as it might seem, because most of the initial studies and also the studies which indicated that arginine is a potent vasodilator, and arginine increases nitric oxide, and arginine even releases growth hormone. All those studies, these initial studies. As with other amino acids, they were done by intravenous infusion of those amino acids. And it's, of course, totally different from ingesting an amino acid orally if you infuse it, because you can really spike the levels of arginine in your bloodstream by infusing it. But if you consume arginine orally, then much of the arginine is used by your gut, and the rest will go via the portal vein into the liver. And the liver is the arginase, which is the enzyme
right.
that converts arginine into ornithine. The enzyme activity in the liver is particularly high. And so, basically, you will end up with only very little of the arginine really arriving in the bloodstream.
Right, right.
And only very little of the arginine arriving at the muscle. And this is particularly important because nitric oxide is a very highly reactive compound, and it's degrading within seconds. That is, if, for example, nitric oxide would be produced in your liver, it would never reach your muscle to induce vasodilation there, but it would react within seconds and would disappear in form of the byproduct of the reaction. So you really have to get the arginine first through the liver and into your blood, and then to the muscle to achieve local effects there.
Right.
And this is where citrulline actually is superior, because citrulline is produced by the intestine, as I've said before, but orally taken citrulline passes from the intestine through the liver without being touched or converted by the liver, and the enzyme that converts citrulline back into arginine, is also active in muscle tissue. It's almost every tissue is able to convert citrulline into arginine, and thus satisfy its own arginine needs by doing so.
We have to take a quick commercial break, Dr. Andrew. But before we take this break, we have a listener, Kevin Johnson, who posted a question on Facebook saying, what about supplementing with both arginine and citrulline? But from what you've said, that sounds to me like it would be a waste of time. You'd better off just supplementing with citrulline.
Well, it could be that that it's a good idea to even supplement with all three of these intermediates, because if you think of an assembly line with three workers, then the assembly line will get stuck every time one of the assembly workers does not have his row of material ready.
Right.
If you supplement with all three, one processes arginine, one processes ornithine, one processes citrulline, then this could speed up the assembly line. But in terms of just increasing nitric oxide production, I would first go for citrulline and then maybe add some arginine back in.
Okay. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up with Dr. Andro, talking about arginine, ornithine, and citrulline, their role in the body. When we come back, we're going to talk more about oral arginine ingestion. We'll be right back.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space, when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPen technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation, because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off. We were discussing arginine's ability to increase growth hormone concentrations. But it really doesn't work out that way, does it, Dr. Andrew? Because arginine's role in growth hormone is not as a production stimulus, but the governing agent known as somatostatin, which is a negative feedback that tells the body to stop producing growth hormone, is actually affected by arginine. But just because you take the brakes off doesn't mean the body's going to produce growth hormone. The analogy I used during the break was you take the brakes off, you're not going to go 80 miles an hour unless you also apply the gas pedal at the same time. So why don't we speak about that?
Well, it's the same like giving the body more arginine will not give you more nitric oxide if it's not converted.
Right.
So, but in spite of that, there are actually studies that show an effect. And interestingly, arginine intravenously is also used to test your pituitary. But in these cases, people use 12 to 30 grams of arginine intravenously administered. So if you take 30 grams of arginine orally, I can vouch for that, then you are on the toilet within 20 minutes.
Yeah, it causes something called osmotic diarrhea. It attracts all of the fluid in your body to your stomach, and you sit on the toilet bowl trying to rid yourself of all of the arginine.
And it's certainly not funny, no. And I don't think it did increase my growth hormone.
But the real question is, did you notice a pump in your glutes while you were having diarrhea? No, I guess not. That's not a good
in
question.
My glutes.
I'm just joking.
No,
anyway.
Not really.
Okay.
But actually, there are studies showing that really low doses of arginine, but when combined with the amino acid lysine, 1.2 grams of arginine and 1.2 grams of leucine.
Is it leucine or lysine?
Lysine.
Yes.
L-Y-S-I-N-E.
Yes, yes.
So these two amino acids in concert, they increased growth hormone, at least for a short time span, eightfold, at 90 minutes post-ingestion. And this is a 1981 study, and there are also newer studies which reproduce similar results for low-dose arginine and leucine. But in fact, this appears to be a very temporary effect. And in one study where people measured the area under the curve for 24 hours, it turned out that the amount of growth hormone the body produced was not changed.
Ah.
So there was just a temporary spike, and you did not really have more growth hormone overall in the course of the day. And whether this is physically significant, we could discuss this, but there's actually also no study which found any effect of arginine and or lysine supplementation on any parameters of which would be important for somebody who's interested in furthering his body composition or building muscle or stuff like that.
Right.
But it's nevertheless interesting that it's about taking arginine and lysine in concert to produce this effect, because in essence we already said in the first episode that these two amino acids compete for absorption. So normally you would expect that the effects would be less pronounced if you take them together, because when you hear the bro science about taking amino acids, then it's always about taking them in isolation to spike amino acid levels, to inhibit competitive absorption, and to get the best or greatest effect by doing so. But in this case, so if your goal would be to spike growth hormone, then it appears to be beneficial to take exactly those two amino acids which inhibit each other.
Right.
Kind of counterintuitive, and in fact, there is no real conclusive information about how all this growth hormone spiking, I would call it now, takes place.
Okay.
And when we are talking about it, just the effects of these temporary spikes on how your body looks and whether your muscles grow or not, then results from 2010 from McMaster's University in Ontario, Canada, are of interest, because The scientists there, they investigated the general role of hormones in regulating muscle mass and in relation to exercise training, and they came to the conclusion that the growth hormone increase, for example, that is induced by exercising alone, is not what is really important to make in muscle growth, but that at least the systemic one, but the reaction of the muscle growth in itself is a more local process. And so those systemic responses we are measuring in all the studies, they may in fact be not really of value when it comes to real-world results.
Okay. Now, there is some information that you sent here saying that there is a relationship perhaps between arginine and one of its metabolites and the anabolic hormones.
Yeah, that's a very recent finding from April 2011, so only a few weeks ago, a study was published which found that androgens, they upregulate ornithine decarboxylase, that is the production of ornithine in skeletal muscle myoblasts, and thus promote myoblast proliferation. So there seems to be a distinct role for arginine, or rather its metabolite ornithine, in actual muscle growth. But these results are so new that we do not really know what they mean. It's just that, of course, as I've been stated before, arginine plays a role in protein synthesis.
Okay. Now let's move on to arginine's role in insulin and glucose disposal.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting one. I've already had one item related to that on the Subversity in a blog post, and this is a 2011 study by Titola, where I find this particularly interesting because it's a real-world application where the scientists, they produced a biscuit with 6.6 gram arginine added to this biscuit. And what they found was that compared to the standard biscuit, this biscuit, it did not only increase blood flow, as you would expect from an arginine supplement, and reduce blood pressure by increasing peripheral vascular vasodilation, but it also decreased the insulin levels, and at the same time also the glucose levels. Mm. So this means those arginine spiked or laced biscuits, they improved insulin sensitivity, and so the subjects needed less insulin for the same amount of glucose disposal.
That's interesting. Almost like the biscuit is a self-regulating, self-modulating food, so that the body can handle it better. That's really interesting.
Yeah, as I said, this very interesting study because it has real-world applications. So next time you bake biscuits, you better go to True Protein and buy some arginine, and then put it into your bakery stuff and have arginine-laced biscuits, which are good for your blood glucose level.
Well, and I was thinking of pizza, actually. I was thinking, gee, I could make pizza, which I don't like to eat any longer because of, you know, I don't want all that bread, all that flour, but I could make pizza and put arginine in the crust.
You could do so, and there are also, I like this study best because it has practical application and it's a human study, but there are many studies done on diabetic rats, or rather chemically induced diabetic rats, which found a beneficial effect of arginine application, and in fact, in one study, the scientists concluded that arginine has a distinct advantage over drugs like metformin and thiazolidinosis. I'm sorry that I'm not pronouncing this correctly, I suppose.
Metformin, is that what you were talking about?
Other drugs like that. Yeah. And the advantage of arginine is that they reduce adiposity while improving insulin sensitivity. While you know that metformin is not selective in which tissues take up the glucose,
right,
and thus they do not reduce obesity, but often they do the exact opposite.
Yes, they produce obesity. They produce obese
exactly.
People. Right.
And even the touted repartitioning agent alpha lipoic acid is not selective in where it disposes or where it puts the glucose to. So large amounts of the glucose will also be stored in fat tissue, and it appears that the beneficial effects of arginine on glucose disposal are mainly
this is by far the most exciting thing I've heard about arginine in a very, very, very long time.
Yeah, and actually, it's also the reason why I still take arginine, because I don't know if I'm hallucinating, but in fact, this is something I really feel or tend to feel, because when I lace my intra-workout drink with additional arginine, then I'm much more likely to feel lightheaded and feel lightly hypoglycemic after my workout. And this tells me that arginine really plays a role in glucose disposal. And
so it sounds to me that that arginine should be used before a meal, that you're concerned about it spiking insulin, number one, and also as a post-workout with carbs. Am I missing something?
I think this could make sense, yeah. Doing so could make sense. And there is an interesting study, there was an interesting study done on the supplementation of arginine in conjunction with creatine. In this case, this was arginine alpha-ketoglutarate. And this study also observed a beneficial effect of the concurrent ingestion of those two, I consider this a very positive effect, because while both supplement regimens increase strength in the athletes, only the combined supplementation avoided the water bloat that creatine induces.
Interesting, interesting. We do have to take one last commercial break, Dr. Andrew, okay? And when we come back, we'll finish up really some really great information still coming about arginine and nitric oxide. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahlerLER.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse. CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Branch chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is part two of the amino acid series. We're going to go long. There's a lot more information to cover. You'll get everything you need. And I will post the show notes in the blog later today. Okay, I'm going to just stay out of your way, Dr. Andrew, so that you could take it from here, because we have a lot of ground to cover.
Well, we've just talked about the beneficial effects of of arginine on glucose disposal. And in fact, it seems, or science indicates, that these effects are actually related not to the arginase activity, that is, to the disposal of ammonia via ornithine production, but they are rather directly related to what we started off with, that is, to nitric oxide production. And maybe it's time to briefly say what nitric oxide is, after all. And initially it was known as endothelium-derived relaxing factor, and this is a name which already tells you what it does. It does relax the smooth muscle cells, and the discovery that this factor was actually a free radical diatomic gas, and this diatomic gas is nitric oxide. This discovery was so stunning that the scientists who found that, they even received the Nobel Prize in 1998 for their work on the system. So if you consume arginine, then only 1 to 2% of the dietary consumed arginine is normally converted to nitric oxide via nitric oxide synthesis. And this process produces one citrulline and one nitric oxide molecule from arginine. And as I've stated before, the half-life of this nitric oxide, that is the molecule that actually has this effect on your muscles and the other tissues, the half-life of this nitric oxide is only 2 to 4 seconds. And so it's working, or it's inducing its effect very locally. And if you want to induce an effect in your muscles, it should be produced by or in your muscles. And when I said before that citrulline works for nitric oxide production, then it works because it is first converted to arginine in your muscle, and then in the next step directly converted to nitric oxide. And I've just posted as an answer to Kevin Johnson's previous question on Facebook that by supplementing additional arginine that then consumes the arginase enzyme that makes ornithine out of arginine, there's more of the arginine produced from citrulline left that can be converted to nitric oxide. So it may make sense to supplement both arginine and citrulline if you just apply this common sense logic to the system.
Right.
And another factor that looms large in the amount of nitric oxide you produce is the amount of cortisol or glucocorticoids that you have in your bloodstream, because these reduce the amount of the enzyme that catalyzes the production of nitric oxide. So if you have high cortisol levels, you won't experience an intense pump because you do not produce so much nitric oxide.
And wow, that's one I never would have guessed. So in other words, cortisol levels can reduce the production of nitric oxide.
Yeah, because it does not it inhibits it indirectly by upregulating the arginase activity.
Wow. Okay.
So high cortisol, low nitric oxide levels. And in fact, if you take a supplement that reduces cortisol levels, many people, for example, report that they experience greater pumps if they take this cortisol blocker by they're advertising with Superhuman Radio DS.
You mean phosphatidylserine?
No, phosphatidylserine is another one. Yeah, but there is one. Well, I'm not getting the name now.
is it a pharmaceutical drug you're talking about?
I think it's pharmaceutically based. Yeah,
not propanolol, right? Propanolol. That's one that. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's by the producer from Triazole.
Oh, DS Triazole. Oh, the Erase, you mean, or one of those products that's a DHEA?
Oh, no, it's Lean Extreme. I know that many users of Lean Extreme also report that this cortisol reducing supplement gives them better pumps.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And this is related to the reduction in arginase.
Right.
To the reduction in arginase and thus the increased availability of arginine to be converted to nitric oxide.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, the initial studies still differentiate between three different isoforms of nitric oxide, but in fact, I won't address these. And within the show, people can check this in the notes. It's not so important for our purposes. And it turned out that, especially in muscle tissues, all those three nitric oxide isoforms are expressed. So all of them may play a role in the effect of nitric oxide on muscle, on building muscle, or having great pump. But this is not the only organ or muscle tissue. In fact, it's not the only or certainly not the most important organ where nitric oxide does its magic, because it's also, of course, important for heart health and endothelial health, because it also plays a role in blood coagulation.
Coagulation, right.
Yeah, that it inhibits the platelet aggregation and thus prevents strokes and heart attacks, or can prevent strokes and heart attacks, at least as long as the levels are normal. As I said before, too high nitric oxide is also not something you would want, but as we have learned, the body tightly regulates the nitric oxide synthesis, and so by just supplementing arginine, you are not really running the risk of getting too high nitric oxide levels. It also plays a role in immune health because it is involved in non-specific host defense mechanisms, and actually many of the immune cells thrive on nitric oxide, or they need it for functioning perfectly. And there also seems to be a relation to cancer protection, because it is also, or nitric oxide inhibits the proliferation of tumor cells, and it's also important for the induction of apoptosis, so that that cells die their normal death. And this is exactly what cancer is. It's a cell that does not die, and nitric oxide, in fact, facilitates this and could thus be of importance in cancer. This does not say that taking arginine will prevent cancer, and it does not say that taking arginine will heal cancer. It's just that you must be aware that nitric oxide is more than having a great pump at the gym. But back to nitric oxide and its role in the muscle, as I've stated before, all those different forms of nitric oxide are expressed in muscle tissue, and they have been associated to several skeletal muscle functions, and the first one, of course, the most important function of a muscle is the force production, and there nitric oxide is some way involved in the excitation and contraction coupling, and it's also involved in the autoregulation of blood flow. This is exactly what you feel in the gym, that your veins are popping and your arms are getting bigger and you feel the vasodilation, and this is actually what most people want when they buy one of those nitric oxide boosters. Then there is evidence, which is actually of greater importance, that it's also important mindset differentiation, and we have already hinted at that with a 2011 study that found that the androgen receptor induces the production of ornithine, and this is somehow related to the proliferation of muscle tissue.
I just want to jump in 1 second and just say one thing about the regulation of force production. It was a study done by University of Kentucky about a decade ago that showed that increases in nitric oxide actually reduce contractile force of muscle fibers by interfering with the calcium channel. Have you found? Did you find that study by any chance?
Yeah, there are many studies showing this. In fact, the higher the nitric oxide level, the lower the contractile force becomes, yeah.
So for those of you who are taking nitric oxide to get a pump, you're also making yourself weaker if it's working.
Well, so. Actually, if you once had a real painful pump, one of those real over-accumulation of nitric oxide pumps, you will have noticed that you can hardly move.
Right.
And if you ask those bros who use those heart anabolic steroids, they will tell you that they get those shin pumps where you just cannot walk because the muscle does not contract anymore. It's fully contracted and is not excitable as it should be.
Right.
And this could also be related to nitric oxide accumulation. So, in fact, this is somehow paradoxically. Some nitric oxide facilitates movement and increases strength, but too much nitric oxide locally produced will in fact leave your muscles basically useless because they just do not work. And this is closely related to the next point, which is respiration, because too much nitric oxide induces hypoxia, which in turn is also interesting if you think about those studies on katsu training. I don't know if you know what this is.
Yeah, that's why you use a cuff to cut off the blood flow and cause muscular congestion, right?
Yeah, and in fact, high nitric oxide levels will, on a micro level, do similar things to your muscle. And these studies on capsule training, they showed that if you restrict blood flow and thus you restrict respiration, then you get greater results from light weights than you would get with training really heavy when the muscle gets its full blood support. So, in fact, this could actually be a factor where increased pumps could, in the end, turn out in increased gain. But this is something that has not really been established by any study I know of, that a great pump in the gym would produce the best gains. But if you ask Arnold Schwarzenegger, he would certainly say that the pump is what you must go for.
Yes, and actually, and that's one of the reasons he said he slept with his maid there, because she gave him a great pump. Oh, that was a different kind of pump. I'm sorry. Anyway, go ahead. Bad joke.
Maybe we better get back to topic.
Yeah.
And the last point involved in what nitric oxide does in your muscle is it regulates the glucose homeostasis. And this comes back to what we've said before, that arginine may help with glucose disposal because it regulates glucose homeostasis specifically in muscle tissue. And this is related to the connection of nitric oxide synthesis and cGMP. And cGMP, in fact, is responsible for the vasodilation. That's the second messenger, such as MK. Most people will know MK, which is involved in the turnover of fatty acids or fatty acid oxidation, and cGMP is another of those messengers. And it leads to the vasodilation effect related to nitric oxide, and it increases blood flow, but there's also evidence that it promotes glucose uptake and utilization. And in fact, in vitro data also shows that arginine directly induces GLUT4. And if you are also a listener or someone who listens also to the BodyRx show, you will hear of GLUT4 in connection with mTOR and all those other signaling proteins. And GLUT4 actually signals or tells the muscle to suck up glucose. And so I think this is the mechanism by which arginine works in promoting healthy glucose levels. And this is much more beneficial than the overall upregulation of glucose uptake by all tissues.
It sounds like anyone on a heavy androgen cycle should take arginine for another reason besides its effect on the androgen receptor. It is well known that superphysiological doses of anabolic steroids, including testosterone, cause a insulin-resistant effect because of its translocation of GLUT4. So L-arginine may actually maybe mediate or ameliorate this problem.
In fact, it could, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
And it has also been shown that if you take a nitric oxide synthesis inhibitor, this will attenuate glucose uptake. So this is another evidence that there is really a distinct relation between nitric oxide and glucose uptake by muscle tissue.
Gotcha.
And as I've said before, for me personally, I noticed taking arginine or sipping arginine in the course of my workouts will leave me, well, rather hypoglycemic after an intense leg workout, for example, than if I just have my normal intra workout mixed with some BCAAs and no additional arginine added. So, in fact, it's likely because it's in vitro studies tell us, and my observation tells me, and there's this nice cookie study, which also shows that arginine really seems to be efficient in getting rid of glucose from your bloodstream.
Excellent. Excellent. I have to tell you, I have renewed interest in arginine as a result of this show.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah. And that's also why I started out with arginine and not with BCAAs. Well, I think I can tell some people new information on BCAAs as well, but I thought we have talked about these so much in the last episodes of Superhuman Radio and the Body Rx show that something different and something everybody thinks he knows everything about would be interesting. And you will be more excited if I tell you that Yao et al. They found in 2008 that arginine also activates the mTOR signaling pathway. And so this is what usually is ascribed to leucine exclusively or majorly to leucine, and arginine, or other studies suggest that it's rather citrulline, which is produced in the gut, as I've said before, from arginine, which has a similar effect, especially in the absence or in states where the general amino acid levels are low. It activates the mTOR signaling pathway and thus, induces protein synthesis. And there's one interesting study done on marathon runners who supplemented, 15 grams of arginine aspartate. So they took 15 grams of arginine, and after their marathon run, they found that their glucagon, urea, and arginine were significantly increased. But what the scientists found quite surprising was that the remaining plasma amino acid levels, as well as some, was significantly reduced. That means by supplementing arginine and by activating mTOR, the protein synthesis was ramped up, and so more of the essential amino acids, and especially the BCAAs and isoleucine, they disappeared from the bloodstream. And suddenly when the scientists measured after the marathon run, they noticed, well, where are all those amino acids gone? Did the arginine negatively impact those poor marathon runners? But in fact, it could be that the increased uptake from the muscle tissue would mean that they did not lose so much muscle tissue, or rather the protein from the muscle tissue, as they would have done if they did not consume the arginine.
Interesting. What about strength athletes?
Well, for strength athletes, those results are already mentioned with concurrent supplementation with creatine, where they had strength increases. But there is a similar study, or there was a similar study done in 35 resistance-trained adult men in the ages of 30 to 50, so not those really young high school kids, but rather the a little older generation, those who are already experienced resistance trainees. And they ingested only, quote-unquote only, 4 grams of arginine alpha glutarate, but 3 times daily. And they did this for an 8-week period, and they trained four times a week. And this was one of those standardized periodized resistance training protocols. So just like the average trainee would train in the gym to build muscle.
Right.
And the increase in bench press was larger in the arginine supplemented group, and it was in fact three times more.
Wow.
So the group who consumed those 4 grams of arginine, that is 12 grams daily, 4 grams of arginine three times a day for 8 weeks, they increased their bench press three times more than the ones who consumed the placebo. So in fact, it turns out that arginine supplementation, by which way it is not known, and the scientists do not really give a conclusive answer of what they think the mechanism is, but it increases the amount of strength the athlete gained. And it does so without significantly increasing the amount of lean muscle tissue. At least in this study, they did not observe statistically significant differences in body composition in the two groups. They just found that the one group was much stronger than the other, and they also performed much better in these standard Wingate peak power tests, where they had an 11% advantage over the placebo group.
Okay. All right. Let's do this to wrap it up. You posed the question in your paper. Arginine, alpha-ketoglutarate, citrulline, ornithine, what shall I take? So why don't we wrap it up and summarize for the listeners when supplementing or trying to supplement with these things, what is best to focus on?
Well, in fact, if you look at the basic composition of some of the newer products on the market of those NO boosters, you will notice that most of them nowadays contain both citrulline and arginine and creatine. And in fact, I think this is a very clever combination, because with the arginine, you provide arginine for arginase activity and the conversion to ornithine to citrulline and back to arginine. So all the citrulline you supplement additionally will first of all at least hit your bloodstream and will then be available at your muscle tissue to produce nitric oxide and really to produce a pump. And then I've already mentioned that creatine stands out of question as one of the fundamental, basic supplements for every strength training athlete, at least. And even if you fear the water bloat, you could try to avoid it and rely on this. Of course, this is just one study, and it might be a little far-fetched to rely on this. But you could at least have a try or give it a try if you already have taken creatine monohydrate by itself and experienced a major bloat and do not like that. Then you could add in some arginine to avoid this bloating and have the exact same strength gains. This was what the study found. The strength gains were the same, but the water bloat was lacking or wasn't there.
Okay.
So there's... That's one other factor which might be addressed in terms of supplementation, and that is what form of supplement or supplemental arginine or citrulline you should get. And if you, for example, look at the product 2-protein stocks, then you will notice that you have different forms of arginine. You have arginine HCL, and you have arginine alpha-ketoglutarate. And the ketoglutarate addition could be of benefit in two ways. Because first of all, alpha ketoglutarate is, as I've said before, an intermediate in the Krebs cycle, and in itself could be adrenergic in helping producing ATP within the cell. That is, producing the general molecule that provides all your cells with energy. So there is a synergistic effect in this respect. But also arginine, at least for ornithine, if it's combined with ornithine, I found a study that showed that it may be beneficial in terms of absorption. So this is also what some of the producers of the early supplements containing arginine alpha-ketoglutarate said, that its absorption is much better, but in fact it's really nearly impossible to find a study that really compared those different arginines. What I really think is that it could also be good to combine different versions or different sorts of arginines. You also have arginine ethyl ester, and you have arginine or D-arginine malate. And each of these arginine variants will be absorbed in a different time span, and thus you would have a more continuous supply of arginine if you decide to take a single dose before workout. You could, of course, have a constant supply by just lacing your intra-workout with citrulline and arginine, or consuming half of the dose before workout, drinking half of the dose intra-workout. And this is something I like to do, for example.
What about this? I have a question about this one study that you quoted here that I'm trying to find it again, that shows an increase in insulin levels when using AKG, which is alpha-ketoglutarate, as opposed to arginine alpha-ketoglutarate. What's the difference, first of all?
The one is the combination of both molecules, and alpha-ketoglutarate is just one of those molecules.
Okay.
And the interesting thing is that obviously the synergy of both, that is taking the combination of both, has a different effect than just taking one individually.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
Taking AKG and the rise in insulin, I'm not quite sure what the reason for this rise in insulin is.
Well, you know what's really interesting? Arginine acts on the pancreas. Taking an oral dose of 50 grams of arginine, aside from possibly causing osmotic diarrhea, can spontaneously cause pancreatitis. So there is some sort of action on the pancreas by arginine. I know that we talked about the ability for it to be a glucose disposal, or even maybe an attenuating factor in the rise in insulin. But there appears to be some direct effect of arginine on the pancreas, which is observed by a very, very large dose causing spontaneous pancreatitis.
Yeah, it's probably related to nitric oxide expression or over nitric oxide expression at the tissue level.
Interesting. Yeah, that's very, very true. Very true.
And when it comes, we have now focused more on the beneficial effects of supplementation on nitric oxide. But as I said, the main reasons I take arginine for are the beneficial effects, well, mediated by nitric oxide on glucose disposal, and of course the ammonia, the removal of ammonia, because this is something I really feel works against fatigue. If you take citrulline, especially citrulline, is known to extend the work capacity. And there was an interesting study in people who were complaining of fatigue. And in this day and age, we always hear about central fatigue syndrome, and nobody really knows what it is. And I think there are thousands of reasons why you could be centrally fatigued. But one possible reason could also be increased ammonia levels.
Mm.
And in that, citrulline or arginine in general would really help. And in this study, they supplemented 18 men which complained of fatigue, but they had no documented disease. And this is typical of those people who end up in all those internet bulletin boards complaining about central fatigue syndrome, and nobody knows what they really have.
Right, right.
Those 18 men went on a protocol for 15 days of oral supplementation with 6 grams of citrulline malate. And actually, 5 to 6 grams would be what I would advise to take in divided doses over the day. For example, 2 to 3 grams before workout and 2 to 3 grams intra-workout on workout days. And this ingestion of citrulline, it resulted in a reduction in the sensation of fatigue and a significant reduction. And interestingly, it also increased the rate of oxidative ATP production by 35% and it increased the rate of phosphocreatine recovery by 20%. So these are major factors of exercise performance, especially of long-term exercise performance or of exercising for longer durations. And it also led to a significant increase in the levels of bicarbonate, ornithine, arginine, and citrulline. So this is why if you decide to supplement with only one of those amino acids, I would go for citrulline, because it is shown that this will increase ornithine, arginine, and citrulline all at once. And as far as the performance effect, that is the increase, especially in ATP, is concerned, it's quite likely that this is not induced by citrulline, but by the addition of malate. And this comes back to what you asked in the first segment of the show, whether citrulline malate would be the preferred choice. It would be, because the malate is also part of this Krebs or citric acid cycle, which is responsible for ATP production. And thus, there is more than just a synergistic effect in terms of improved uptake, but it's really a direct effect of the malic acid in terms of beneficial effects on the ATP production and thus on exercise performance.
Okay.
So if you select one of those amino acids, then it would be citrulline, and if you decide on a dosage, then take 5 to 6 grams a day.
Okay. All right, so we need to wrap this up in just a few minutes if we can. Do you want to summarize anything before we call it a day? And obviously I'm going to put these notes up on the blog for anybody to go and review as well. There's lots of great information in here.
Well, maybe I'll try to summarize the main points. The main point is arginine is intricately involved with ornithine and citrulline in a cycle. So this means one can be produced by the body from another. Arginine is generally non-essential. There are certain conditions where you need additional arginine, which are, for example, if you are wounded or if you are severely burned. Then you can benefit from supplemental arginine or other of its intermediates, especially citrulline malate, as I've stated later, because this, or rather the arginine that is later produced locally from the citrulline, has beneficial effects on glucose disposal, on exercise recovery, on the production of ATP via the added malic acid, and it may also help in building muscle, while these results are not really established. There are in vitro results that suggest that arginine or its metabolites play a major role in the proliferation of myoblasts. So in essence, arginine goes way beyond nitric oxide and having a great pump. And in fact, as we've discussed before, having a great pump often means that you are not as strong as you could be. But nevertheless, some of those arginine supplements and even some of those commercially available ones which combine arginine, citrulline, and creatine may be of great use. And in fact, this is also why they are still in the top 5 selling list of bodybuilding.com. It's not because all people who are buying those products are stupid, but because they can, in fact, produce results. But these results are not merely related to an increase in nitric oxide production, because the availability of building blocks will not build a house. You need the workers, and those products will not increase the nitric oxide synthesis, which is, in fact, a good thing, because too much of a good thing, like nitric oxide, often turns out to be bad.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground on this show, a lot of great information. Like I said earlier, I will put up the notes in the blog later today. You can visit Dr. Andro's blog, which is Supversity, supversity.blogspot.com. If you're on the Superhuman Radio homepage, you'll find the banner ad that'll get you there directly. You can read a lot of this stuff before he talks about it on the show. Many of the studies he cites, he's written about in his blog, so check that out today. I guess we have two more installments of the amino acid lecture.
Well, if you go so long as in this one, it will be many more. But at least two more are coming, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. We took a long. We made this show 2.5 hours instead of 2 hours today, so that's fine.
All right, Dr. Andrew, thank you so much for all the hard work that you put in, and people will see the hard work when they see these show notes that you put into researching and preparation for these shows.
You're welcome. I'm doing this because I'm interested in it myself. And again, I've learned during the research new things I did not know yet. And I hope many of the listeners have also learned something new, and maybe their interest in arginine is renewed, or their interest in citrulline is first initiated, or whatever.
Actually, that's exactly what I'm looking at, buying arginine and citrulline right now. It's funny. I already went over to trueprotein.com, and I'm looking at the bulk powders right now.
Okay, I think many of the listeners will do the same.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, listen, Dr. Andrew, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. And we also want to thank Dr. Peter Rouse for coming on and talking about nutrition for your pets. Hopefully somebody out there will get some good information and they will have a pet that is healthier. We'll see everybody tomorrow with Casual Friday. Don't miss it. Elisa Profumo has been working feverishly all week. We're also going to have a guest on Casual Friday tomorrow. Tune in then.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
From good.